Turn with Bibles, please, for our second reading, and we'll find that in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Second Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodebar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, it's a pretty straightforward story and wonderful in David's kindness. There are perhaps a couple of nuances, and then, of course, there are typological principles here that we want to understand for ourselves. So first of all, in verses 1 through 8, note of David, he is a man of his word, even if those to whom he made the oaths are no longer living. With whom did David make this oath? With Jonathan, the father of Mephibosheth. Is Jonathan alive? No, Jonathan is long dead. Has been for some time now. Died with his father Saul on Mount Gilboa, you remember. And yet, David, after the civil war has ended, and after he has been established in his kingdom, he is still looking for things to do that are part of his duty as king, and one of those is to keep the oath that he made to Jonathan. And so rather than relaxing, rather than kicking back now because he's taking care of all of his enemies, he's got the covenant of God now, right? God said, "I'm going to have a house for many days." Well, David's still looking for that righteousness that he ought to do. So David shows himself to be a man of righteous industry here, a man of his word. And so not only did he make the promise, but he put forth effort to keep the promise. He didn't say, oh, well, Jonathan's dead, so I guess I can't fulfill that promise. No. He inquired, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? But notice also that David says, I'm going to offer the kindness of God. Now that's a little subtle, isn't it? Why would David phrase it in that way? Why would David say, I'm going to show the kindness of God? Well, there are several possibilities. The first is that because David made an oath before God, this oath as it is now played out is the kindness of God. And that's one way to think of it. But I think it's something beyond that. When David says, to whom can I show this kindness of God, he is aware of what is going on here, that first of all, Mephibosheth ought to be considered by all political paradigms the enemy of the current monarchy. He's one that might rise up at some time and have a claim to the throne because he's grandson to Saul, who was king. But notice that David says, I'm going to show the kindness of God to him. In other words, I'm going to take those who might be considered my enemies and I'm going to feed them. Secondly, David says it's it's not just of his enemy, but is there something about Mephibosheth that would indeed commend him to David, that he might invite him to the table? Well, no, as a matter of fact, he's lame in his feet. There's nothing particularly exciting about Mephibosheth. As a matter of fact, when David takes on the care of Mephibosheth, he takes on the care of one who is indeed permanently disabled. And so, once again, we see it is the kindness of God. It is an otherworldly kindness that David is exhibiting here. So he takes his enemy, makes him his friend, and he provides for him. And even though that enemy is lame in his feet, even though he is deformed, even though he is disabled, even though he is lame. Well, these things point us to the great kindness of God toward us, who were his enemies, who usurped his authority in our own hearts and placed ourselves on the throne, although lame in our own feet, not recognizing our own disability, pridefully proclaiming it as an advantage, the Lord brings us near, sets us at his own table, feeds us with the bread of kindness, and treats us as one of his own sons and daughters, sitting at his table continually. Where does Mephibosheth live? Well, he lives in someone else's house in a place called Lo Debar. Lo Debar, you know what that means? No pasture. Nothing to eat here. And so he goes from Lo Debar to the king's table. Fascinating, isn't it? How the Lord arranges these things providentially for our learning and for our comfort. You'll see in when Ziba comes into David's presence in verse 2, hopefully your Bibles maintain the italics there in the last two words of that verse. Ziba comes in, and what does Ziba say? David says to him, art thou Ziba? And notice he does not answer with his own name. Literally, what Ziba says is, thy servant. Right? Art thou Ziba? Thy servant. And so Ziba is very, very humble in the presence of the king, letting him know that he's no threat to him, although he is now the manager, the overseer of the household of Saul and Jonathan. And notice that that's exactly what Mephibosheth says also when he comes into David's presence, except he adds the word behold. Art thou Mephibosheth? And he said, behold thy servant. And so notice that they both confess themselves to be the servant of the king. So then we have this wonderful picture of the grace of God toward disabled sinners who are indeed in themselves rivals to the throne. Not right rivals, not righteous, not upright, not uprightly a rival to the throne, but in that we are all usurpers. We all place ourselves upon the throne. We have subtle ways of doing that in different locutions, don't we? We say, since Jesus came into my life, ooh, what a confession of our own throneship, right? Remember that we don't have a life. We're like Mephibosheth, living in someone else's house in Lodebar, a place without pasture, a place where we are indeed servants to someone else. But we are called out of Lodebar to sit at the table of the king. We move from Lodebar to Jerusalem. We come and we live in Jerusalem continually. We become citizens of the heavenly city. We sit at the table of the king, and we have others who come and feed us with the good things of God. Oh my, what an estate is that. Thus ends the reading then of 2 Samuel chapter 9.